India taps private industry to fortify missile arsenal amid regional tensions. India approved the transfer of technologies for all conventional missile systems from its state-run Defense Research and Development Organization to private companies on August 28, 2026, a structural break with decades of state monopoly that creates the largest new entry point for private industrial capital in the country's defense sector since independence. The decision, announced by India's Defense Ministry, spans the full spectrum of conventional missile systems, from air defense interceptors to air-to-air and surface-to-surface variants. The government called the move an important milestone that will enhance operational capability, reduce import dependence, and leverage Indian industry for the development and manufacture of advanced defense systems. Specific missile systems whose technology will be transferred were not identified by the government, and financial terms of any transfer arrangements were not disclosed. Manoj Joshi, distinguished fellow at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi, said the four-day conflict with Pakistan last year exposed India's stockpile vulnerability. The hostilities with Pakistan lasted 4 days, but if they had dragged on, India too might have faced a problem with missile stockpiles because missiles were extensively used during the conflict, Joshi told Defense News. In the case of the conflict involving Iran, for example, which has lasted longer than expected, even a country like the U.S. faced problems with some munitions. The policy shift arrives as a global pattern hardens. Prolonged conflicts drain precision munitions faster than centralized state production can replenish them. Ukraine's depletion of U.S.-made Patriot interceptors strained its air defense capabilities and raised alarms among American allies in the Middle East. India, drawing from its own four-day exchange with Pakistan and watching those external precedents, has concluded that a production base concentrated in a handful of state-owned enterprises is a strategic liability. The private sector opening is the direct policy response, and it will reshape the country's defense industrial landscape for institutional investors positioned to move early. State monopoly ends. The industrial structure that is changing for decades, India's missile production followed a closed-loop model. The Defense Research and Development Organization designed indigenous systems. State-owned companies manufactured them. Private firms waited at the margins. That structure created a single point of failure on both the design and production side. India relies largely on domestically produced missiles, but also operates advanced imported systems from Russia and Israel, a dual dependency that the government explicitly says it wants to reduce. The new policy transfers technology, not just contracts. That distinction matters for investors. Technology transfer means private firms can eventually internalize intellectual property, build proprietary process capabilities, and compete for export orders, not just serve as overflow capacity for the Indian Armed Forces. The Observer Research Foundation's Joshi described the strategic logic plainly. This restructuring is important. It is the path that most countries follow. The precedent is instructive. After decades of state dominance, private firms have already begun producing drones and have been invited into India's fifth-generation fighter program. That fighter program is now attracting Rolls-Royce and Safran in a contest to co-develop a 120kN class turbofan engine for the advanced medium combat aircraft Mk2. Rolls-Royce and Reliance Industries announced their strategic intent on August 14, 2026, to jointly develop and manufacture an indigenous engine and explore forming a dedicated aerospace gas turbine complex in India. Safran's competing proposal for the same program is under evaluation by India's Cabinet Committee on Security. The pattern is consistent. India is systematically privatizing the most technically demanding segments of its defense industry. Missiles are the latest and most consequential domain to open. Stockpile math. Why the conflict data drives the policy, the Ukraine war and the Iran conflict are not rhetorical backdrop. They are the quantitative argument for this policy. Joshi's framing is precise. The India-Pakistan exchange lasted 4 days and still stressed missile inventories. Extrapolate to a 2-week or 2-month conflict, and the arithmetic produces a readiness gap that no single state enterprise can close on short notice. The DRDO to state manufacturer pipeline, optimized for peacetime procurement cycles, cannot surge production at the pace modern conflict demands. Japan reached the same conclusion. On August 27, 2026, Japan's Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics Agency signed a mass production agreement for Terra B1 interceptor drones, a 3D printed system developed by Terra Drone. The agency moved from tender to contract in 3 months, against an industry norm of 1 to 2 years. Terra Drone CEO Toru Tokushai told Defense News that 3D printing will simplify and shorten design and prototyping, allow rapid production scaling, and enable continuous modification as threats evolve without disrupting deployment schedules. The parallel with India is direct. Both governments are engineering speed into defense production by pulling private capital and private manufacturing capacity into systems previously controlled by state agencies. The difference is in approach. Japan is using additive manufacturing to compress timelines. India is using technology transfer to multiply manufacturing nodes. Both strategies target the same vulnerability, a centralized, slow-moving supply chain that cannot sustain a prolonged, high-intensity conflict. Key risk: India's government has not identified which specific missile systems will be included in the technology transfer program. Until the scope is defined, private firms and investors cannot size the addressable market or assess the depth of IP rights on offer. The private sector ecosystem, taking shape India's private defense sector, is not starting from zero. Firms have already scaled drone production and entered the fighter program. The missile technology transfer builds on that base. The Rolls-Royce and Reliance Industries announcement on August 14, 2026 illustrates the template. A foreign technology holder partners with a large Indian industrial conglomerate, creates a dedicated manufacturing complex in India, and targets full technology transfer with Indian intellectual property ownership. That structure, applied to missiles, would give Indian private firms not just manufacturing rights, but the design capability to iterate on existing systems and eventually develop next-generation variants without foreign dependency. The strategic logic also aligns with India's Atmanirbhar Bharat self-reliance framework, which the Defense Ministry invoked explicitly in its statement calling for leverage of Indian industry capabilities for the development and manufacture of advanced defense systems. For institutional capital, the investment surface is broad. Tier 1 Indian defense primes with existing manufacturing infrastructure are positioned to receive initial technology transfers. Component suppliers in propulsion, guidance electronics, and composite structures sit a layer below. Test and certification facilities represent a capital-light adjacent play. The firms that move fastest to absorb transfer technology will build moats before the program parameters are fully public. Asia's defense privatization cycle, a regional investment theme India's missile decision and Japan's drone procurement, are not isolated events. They are two data points in a regional defense privatization cycle that is compressing the timeline between government intent and private capital deployment. Japan's 3-month tender to contract on the Terra B1 drone represents a structural acceleration. India's technology transfer covers the full conventional missile spectrum. Both moves signal that governments in the Indo-Pacific are no longer willing to wait for state enterprises to catch up to operational demand. Private capital fills that gap, and the policy architecture is being built to accommodate it. Sizing the opportunity, India's defense budget and specific missile procurement allocations were not disclosed in the source material. Investors should monitor the Ministry of Defense's capital acquisition budget disclosures for line items covering missile inventory expansion, which will be the leading indicator of transfer volume and contract scale. The Plaquemium view the market is reading this as a defense policy story. Plaquemium reads it as an industrials privatization story with a defense wrapper, and that distinction changes the investment thesis entirely. When India transfers missile technology to private firms, it is not simply adding manufacturing capacity. It is seeding an entirely new industrial vertical in a country with an established engineering talent base, a cost structure well below Western peers, and a government explicitly committed to reducing import dependence across the defense stack. The second-order effect is export optionality. India currently exports modest volumes of defense equipment. A private sector with absorbed missile technology, production scale, and Indian IP ownership is a credible future exporter to non-aligned movement countries, Southeast Asian buyers, and Middle Eastern governments seeking supply chain diversification away from U.S. and European systems subject to political conditions. That export market does not exist yet, but the policy foundation being laid in August 2026 is what creates it. The Rolls-Royce and Reliance partnership on fighter engines offers the clearest precedent for how this plays out. A foreign firm brings the technology. An Indian conglomerate brings capital, manufacturing infrastructure, and political access. The Indian government provides the captive demand anchor. Over time, the Indian partner absorbs enough capability to compete independently. The missile program will follow the same arc, just with a broader set of potential private recipients. For private equity and institutional capital, the positioning question is not whether to engage with India's defense sector. The question is where in the value chain to enter before the technology transfer parameters are announced. Firms with existing defense-adjacent manufacturing capabilities, precision engineering capacity, and government relationships are the natural first movers. The window before formal program announcements is where the entry multiples are defensible. Joshi's framing that this is the path that most countries follow understates the speed of what is happening. The US, UK, and France spent decades building private defense industrial bases. India is attempting to compress that process into a single policy cycle, driven by conflict data that is current, not theoretical. That compression is where the investment urgency comes from. The bottom line, India's technology transfer decision converts its missile industrial base from a closed state system into an open market, and the catalyst is empirical. 4 days of conflict with Pakistan demonstrated that a single supplier production model cannot sustain high-intensity operations. Private capital now has a government mandate to fill that gap across air defense, air-to-air, and surface-to-surface systems. The firms that absorb transferred technology fastest will not only serve Indian armed forces demand, but will position for an export market that does not yet exist. The policy is announced. The program parameters are not. That gap between announcement and specification is the investment window.